I can hear it now. Oh my God, the title of this book is so disrespectful. Ignorance and stupidity are such harsh characterizations of those who voted for Donald Trump, I imagine you're thinking. In conversations with friends, getting no further than the title, the immediate response is consistently the same. No one likes being labeled ignorant and stupid. Well, no kidding. Of course, MAGA folks call Democrats libtards, and Donald Trump and a host of Republican leaders label any progressive person as a Marxist or communist or America hater without any evidence or even a second thought. Actually, stupid and low IQ are among Trump's repository of favorite insults used to slander anyone who disagrees with him, no matter how disconnected from reality his statements may be. But progressives are supposed to go high when he goes low, right? I have been a successful candidate twice for public office in my county, so I understand the tricky high-wire act necessitated by wanting to be honest but recoiling from being too blunt. Yes, the words ignorance and stupidity are jarring, so why not choose less explosive, more genteel terminology? Words matter, and using blunt, negative labels can be meaningful and justifiably warranted in some instances. For example, studies have documented that as many as 12% of CEOs in business are legitimately labeled as psychopaths because they fit the definition, which is someone who has no conscience and feels no remorse or empathy. Simply labeling them as bad bosses diminishes their toxicity. Individuals who are pickpockets, we rightly label thieves, not light-fingered artists. Labeling January 6, 2021 rioters as patriots, political prisoners, mistreated hostages, or just tourists on normal visits to the nation's capital, as Trump and Republican apologists for anarchy did, is linguistic malpractice. A bipartisan Senate investigative report concluded that 7 people died as a result of the riot and almost 150 police officers were injured, many seriously and traumatically. Aquilino Gunnell described his firsthand experience defending the Capitol from the violent mob in his January 5, 2025 essay for the New York Times. This is a direct quote. "For my efforts doing my duty as a Capitol police sergeant, I was beaten and struck by raging rioters all over my body with multiple weapons until I was covered in my own blood. My hand, foot, and shoulder were wounded. I thought I was going to die and never make it home to see my wife and son." By the day of the 2024 election, federal prosecutors had achieved convictions of more than 1,100 individuals, and more than 600 of these rioters were sentenced to prison terms. An additional 450 awaited trials. They weren't patriots or tourists or hostages. They were criminals, as determined in hundreds of court cases and jury trials. No jury found any of the insurrectionists innocent. Many were viciously violent thugs threatening to kill Vice President Pence and members of Congress. Nevertheless, on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2025, Trump pardoned, commuted the prison sentences, or vowed to dismiss the remaining cases of all 1,500-plus individuals charged with crimes or found guilty and sent to prison for the Capitol riot. Where is the honor in that? Where is the respect for the blue, the Capitol Police, who furiously fought the raging mob to protect members of Congress and their staffs from injury or even death? Apparently, the American public didn't find Trump's blanket pardon so honorable. A YouGov survey found that a 2/3 majority opposed pardons of violent rioters and those who assaulted Capitol Police. Even a slight majority of Republicans opposed such pardons. Blunt honesty about Trump and his abuse of power and those who support him and enable his worst inclinations is manifestly warranted. Tippy-toeing around the blatant abuse of power that has produced a serious threat to the continuing existence of democracy in the United States is sane-washing a presidential administration crazily out of control. When Trump lied almost every time he spoke, the mainstream media persistently called him disingenuous or given to falsehoods or overly broad boasts, until his years-long rants about Democrats stealing the rigged 2020 presidential election were finally unavoidably labeled the big lie. Accurate labeling can lend impact to crucially important discussions. There is no objective alternative description, no softer label, such as calling Trump supporters low-information voters, that adequately explains the election outcome. Donald Trump was ranked as the worst president in the history of the United States in 2024 by a group of political scientists esteemed as the foremost experts in presidential politics. Self-described conservatives ranked Trump third from the worst, and moderate and liberal political scientists had him dead last. That last place ranking alone should justify labeling his re-election as an ignorant and stupid decision. The American voters re-elected an appallingly bad president, a convicted felon, and a reprehensible human being who wallows in the sewage of hatred and vengefulness. For perspective, consider this query. Would any board of directors for a major corporation even consider rehiring a CEO that they had fired 4 years earlier because they viewed him as the worst performing CEO in the history of their company? Then add to that 34 felony convictions and a sexual abuse civil trial judgment on his resume. If they did rehire such an incompetent and criminal individual, would that not seem to be an irrefutable, stupid decision or a suspiciously corrupt one? So let's define some key terms to be precise. Ignorance means lack of knowledge, understanding, or information about something. In this instance, the something is Trump and what he promotes and represents. Millions of Americans seem to prefer remaining politically ignorant, and that benefits Trump. An NBC News poll in April 2024 found Trump leading Biden by 26 points among voters who don't follow political news. Ignorance is curable if you seek the truth, educate yourself, and gain knowledge from credible sources. Unfortunately, research shows willful ignorance, the intentional act of avoiding information that reveals the negative consequences of one's actions or inactions, is common. One meta-analysis of 22 studies found willful ignorance often blinds us to hard truths about ourselves and others. As votes were cast in 2024, most Trump supporters probably preferred not to know what the consequences of mass deportation would have on immigrant families torn apart and subjected to potential horrors when they are sent to countries that will endanger their lives or are spirited off to a gulag in El Salvador. Willful ignorance hides harsh realities. Of course, some Trump supporters have completely lost their humanity and simply don't care about the pain that is being inflicted on vulnerable groups. Stupidity is an inability or unwillingness to use reason, logic, and credible evidence to arrive at valid conclusions. As philosopher Bertrand Russell put it, stupidity is not merely a lack of intellect, it is the refusal to think critically. You don't have to be inherently stupid to make dumb decisions. We all have made stupid decisions. I certainly have made my share. Smart people smoke cigarettes knowing full well that they cause cancer. Smart people date individuals that they know are abusive or incompatible, but rationality be damned. Smart people take preposterous risks just for the thrill, even when death is a serious threat. Psychologist Robert Sternberg edited a book more than two decades ago titled Why Smart People Can Be So Stupid. 11 academic experts explored the unsettlingly common phenomenon of smart people making stupid decisions. In our current political environment, instead of feeling embarrassed and striving to admit and correct mistakes, as any reasonable person would do, Trump and his supporters make no such effort. USA Today columnist Rex Hupke comments that Trump has made stupidity acceptable. He explains stupidity this way. It's the willingness to say something objectively false and refuse to admit you're wrong. In Trump's case, it's even worse than that. He and his devotees celebrate stupid decisions, defend them with a straight face, and using psychological projection, hurl accusations of stupidity at those who correctly call out the shameful nonsense. Donald Trump's son Eric referred to people protesting his father's immigration raids as mongoloids, a dated and historically repulsive term that referred to a person with Down syndrome. The calamity of Trump's 2024 re-election becomes more obvious each day as he exercises the reins of power and sets about trashing our government with the help of shockingly unqualified appointments to his cabinet and administrative positions. Bringing on billionaire Elon Musk to run Trump's faux Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, also known as Department of Getting Even, underlines just how preposterous and dangerous it was to re-elect Trump. Those of us who abhor the unmistakable rise of authoritarianism and oligarchy, which is the vast, unsettlingly political and governmental influence of unelected billionaires, should require chucking the placating terminology. We must stop normalizing Trump's crassness and hypocrisy. On the night of his re-election victory, referring to the assassination attempt on his life, Trump proclaimed the following: "Many people have told me that God spared my life for a reason, and that reason was to save our country and to restore America to greatness." For large swaths of evangelical Christians, Trump became the anointed one. The thought process that would lead anyone of Christian faith to see Trump as their savior, a man who never sets foot in a church without some self-aggrandizing event, never fails to spread hate on a daily basis, and avariciously seeks to increase his wealth despite obvious conflicts of interest, should make heads whiplash in consternation. The man offered his Inauguration Day Bible for $70 on January 6th, reminiscent of the iconic date of the Capitol insurrection. Each copy featured an embossed cover with his name and the date of his swearing in as president for the second time. There's also the Day God Intervened edition, embossed with the date of the unsuccessful assassination attempt on his life. The crassness of this profiteering is stunning even for Trump. Just imagine if Obama or Biden had done anything even remotely similar, how MAGA disciples would have lost their minds, and Fox News would have provided nonstop criticism and allegations of blasphemy. Neither Obama nor Biden, of course, would ever have considered tarnishing their faith in such a distasteful way. This is a book on how to fight back against the forces of authoritarianism and its concomitant bigotry and subjugation that especially targets our most vulnerable groups. We must be clear-eyed about the real challenge that we face to regain power in the 2026 election, to resurrect our democracy as it crumbles before our eyes. It is my thesis that until we embrace the root causes of the 2024 election disaster, namely that the Trump campaign unleashed a calculated, cynical effort to trigger stupid decisions by voters based mostly on willful ignorance and lack of enthusiasm for rational thought, resurrecting our failing democracy is highly unlikely. As humorist Will Rogers once noted, we are all ignorant, just on different subjects. Unfortunately, the 2024 election was a terrible time to demonstrate this truism about the American electorate. Lest my focus on willful ignorance and stupid decisions is seen as a rant, let's clearly define the term. A rant is the action of speaking, writing, or shouting in a loud, uncontrolled, or angry way, often saying confused or silly things. Britannica Dictionary further defines a rant as to complain in a way that is unreasonable. Trump's rally speeches qualify as rants because they are irrefutably unreasonable, often confused and silly ramblings, and unsubstantiated appeals to anger, hatred, and fear shouted almost nonstop to approving crowds. What I present is a detailed analysis, abundantly documented, that directs and encourages voters to be reasonable, not unreasonable, in their decision-making. I encourage you to think critically, even disagree with me, if you believe that is warranted. I was a college debater and college debate coach. I revel in a rational, rhetorical rumble. This book is the antithesis of a rant. Democrats and progressives at every level need a revitalized, sometimes unconventional, battle plan. I offer such a plan. This book is divided into three substantial parts. In part one, I analyze the weaknesses of the multiple explanations for the Harris loss provided by pundits, podcasters, talking heads, and academics. These explanations, in my view, are just pecking around the edges without uncovering the root causes of this election result. No effective plan is likely to emerge from such superficial speculations. Yes, Harris might have won had her campaign avoided some mistakes and more forcefully addressed weaknesses in Trump's campaign. Willful ignorance and stupid decision-making by the American electorate, however, would still leave us on the precipice of losing our democracy in the future. That is what must be openly recognized and powerfully countered. The way Democrats and progressives conduct their campaigns and fight the forces of the Trumpian onslaught needs a systemic upheaval, not a tweak here and a tweak there. In part two, I develop an extensive case that voter willful ignorance and stupid decision-making are the root causes of the Trump re-election. The scope of this phenomenon spreads beyond the MAGA faithful and spills over to frustrated, confused, and disconnected voters, and the alarmingly large number of apathetic non-voters, a prodigious 89 million registered voters in 2024. Merely listing a few examples of Trump's appeals to ignorance and stupidity, and the acceptance of his nonsensical rhetoric by a plurality of voters, is insufficient to appreciate the enormity of the challenge that we face to correct what has transpired. Life challenges, income inequality, anger about many emotional issues, and other intervening problems all can produce confusion and make rational decision-making based on credible knowledge difficult. We can feel compassion for those who are struggling economically and socially without freeing them from the responsibility of making rational decisions that affect our entire country. In part three, and most importantly, I provide a comprehensive, carefully reasoned plan that offers abundant strategies and tactics to turn around our country's descent into chaos and deplorable political decision-making that threatens the very existence of our democracy. My expertise and the expertise of many others inform my proposals. Informed, rational decision-making is the enemy of Trump's tirades and his rise to power. Any effort to advance rational decision-making from the electorate must not be just a top-down process guided by the Democratic National Committee and members of Congress. There must also be committed and energetic participation from the bottom up. We must all be in this together, working diligently from the ground up, or we shall all be ground down under the boot of authoritarianism and oligarchy. I analyze the past, but my plan targets the future. The goal is not some tepid campaign to return Democrats to marginal control of Congress. Instead, the goal must be the reduction of the Trump-appeasing Republican Party to a feeble version of its former self, even its eventual extinction and perhaps replacement with a conservative party that truly respects the Constitution, our laws, and the values of integrity and ethical standards of conduct. We need to create a mass movement, reminiscent of the civil rights movement, that mobilizes creative forces to regain overwhelming political power to smash the Trumpian rise of authoritarianism. To those who argue that Democrats are no better than Republicans, I say hogwash. Yes, instances of Democrats acting contrary to our higher values can certainly be found. But as a whole, Democrats have a much stronger record than Republicans. After reading this book, there should be no doubt from any reasonable person that the Democrats are the principal force fighting to preserve our democracy and our freedoms, while Republicans have surrendered completely to the Trumpian onslaught that leads to fear, hatred, bigotry, division, and despotism. My no-nonsense, straight-talking approach doesn't equate to closed-mindedness. It is the opposite. I advocate open-mindedness. Someone exhibiting an open mind follows the logic and evidence to its rational conclusion, even if this means accepting uncomfortable truths. It does not mean entertaining claims someone makes, no matter how implausible, unsupported, or even loopy they may be. Someone with a closed mind rigidly clings to comfortable beliefs even when they are divorced from logic, facts, and reality. Such individuals qualify as true believers and fanatics, or as Winston Churchill sardonically defined them, individuals who won't change their minds and won't change the subject. My laser focus is on Democrats as the clear opposition party best suited to combat the Trumpian desire to dismantle our democratic institutions and privatize long-revered essential programs, such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, public education, infrastructure investment, worker protections, environmental safeguards, and even the Postal Service. Passage of Trump's Big Beautiful Bill by a Republican-controlled Congress in July 2025 is just one significant demonstration of this goal. Trump and his Republican Party want to make the federal government a hellish mess, and they are succeeding in very troubling ways. This will all become clear once I have presented my case. Those who did not vote for Trump and his Republican backers, or the millions of independents and Democrats who stayed home either from apathy or frustration with the whole political process, gather your fortitude and join the fight to defend our democracy. Also, don't give up on that significant portion of those who voted for Trump reluctantly, for whatever reason, but who may eventually realize their mistake and can be brought back into the fold of reason and logic. Finally, let me explain briefly why I have produced this second edition. I have made significant organizational changes to improve the sequence of topics discussed. I have included 5 substantial sections in Part 3 that offer powerful additional strategies and tactics to achieve the overriding goal of a democratic landslide in the 2026 elections and beyond. Also, the entire book has been completely updated. Numerous fresh studies and surveys have been included as support for all of my arguments, and a visual package of custom cartoons and illustrations have been included to enhance the look of the book.